Good morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. I am your host, Tim Morrison. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the book they have written, are in the process of writing, or intend to write someday. And at this point in the show, I usually greet Stone Payton, whom I describe as a vital cog, but that vital cog is over in Britain this week trying to drum up business for Business Radio X over the pond. So we've got Alan Dobrinsky in here at the control today, and it's always good to have Alan with us.
Thank you, Tim.
I surprised you, didn't I? There you go. Well, I'm actually turning the hosting microphone over to Vanessa Lowry. Vanessa is the permanent guest host of Right Here, Right Now. She covers when I travel. But I also like to take 1 week off every month, not to have to worry about. And Vanessa's so creative with the kind of shows she comes up with. And today is Vanessa's September show. So over to you.
Good morning, Tim. It's good to be here with you today. You know, this is my first show in the new location, and it's really such a cool place. And they've got flavored coffees, and we're all cozy in here. So it's going to be a fun show. Today we're interviewing two authors who have published books about fascinating people and places in their own backyard, and they were published by Kennesaw State University Press. Our third guest has also been published, but he's here today to tell us specifically about Kennesaw State's one-day publishing conference that's happening October the 1st. So today's show is going to be packed full of good information. In the studio with us this morning we have Ellen Lyle Tabor, Neil Wilkinson, and Jim Elledge. We're going to start with Ellen and follow our lady's first rule. Ellen Lyle Tabor grew up in Savannah, Georgia, and she's a retired registered nurse. She's also a senior lecturer at Kennesaw State University. She spent her childhood summers fishing, crabbing, and running barefoot on the beaches of Tybee Island and turned her fascination of that area into two books, Tybee Days, 100 Years on Georgia's Playground Island, and the companion book, Sand Between Our Toes, the Tybee Island Family Photo Album. Tybee Days earned for its authors, she actually co-authored the book, it earned for its authors the 2010 Georgia Author of the Year Award in the History category. Sand Between Our Toes has been endorsed by Cullen Chambers, who's the Executive Director of the Tybee Island Historical Society, and by Nancy Mercer Girard, niece of the famed lyricist Johnny Mercer. Welcome, Ellen.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
So glad to have you with us today. So I'm just curious how you and your co-author, Polly Wiley Cooper, connected and decided to write these books.
Well, in the spring of 2005, I began interviewing folks at Tybee for a book about the Tybee people over a long period of time. I grew up in the summers down there, and my father always said, if you don't write the story of Tybee, it'll never be written. So I began interviewing, and 6 months later, Polly called me. I'd never met her before, and she was living in Savannah, and she said she was writing the same kind of book, and she had approached one of my interviewees who said to her, you've got to contact Ellen first. And so she did, and we found out we both had the same goals for the books. That we had no ego about them because they belonged to the people of Tybee, and so we teamed up, and it was very successful.
How interesting that you both had this idea to write a similar book and then were able to connect together and combine your resources to
yes,
do
I'm
that.
I'm so glad it worked because, you know, they talk about idea clouds that come from the Pacific and come all across America, and different people get the same idea at the same time and never know each other. So we were lucky to connect.
That's awesome. So you interviewed more than 400 families
for
Tybee Days, and then you had over 500 photos that ranged from 1900 to 1999 in the Sand Between Our Toes. How did you find all these people?
Well, interestingly enough, one of my teachers from high school lived on the island, and she reintroduced me to the different people that she knew, and they kept introducing me to new people. And, of course, I didn't know everybody on the island when I was growing up. I knew just select families. And so the more people I talked with, they kept sending me to new folks. And you're talking about the pictures that are in the book. Sometimes people would say, well, I don't really have anything to say. And then Polly would pipe up and say, well, have you got a picture? And then that would start a new story.
Oh, that's awesome. So people gave you their pictures, and I know that you had antidotes and wittyisms and captions and that kind of thing that are included in the Sand Between Our Toes, in addition to all the interview content that's in Tybee Days.
And in Tybee Days, we put about 70 photos in that as well, although it's divided into chapters of mostly text. And then we had so many photos left over that we had about 1,000 photos total, but about 500 were fit to be published in the books. And fortunately for us, people let us have them long enough to take them to some place to have them copied or scanned, and then we brought them back. That was a job.
So I bet it was. I bet it was. So your original idea was not to have two books. It just evolved that way.
That right, just evolved. It was just supposed to be one book, Tybee Days, with some photos in it. But Polly's very good about getting new pictures from people. And we decided we just couldn't disappoint them. And we had so many stories that we had not told in Tybee Days, the little anecdotes and little vignettes of people. So it was perfect to just write the second book.
And I know Tybee Island has been a playground for Georgia and beyond, and some really famous people have spent time in Tybee. Can you give us an idea of some of the famous folks that have been there?
Well, during the big band era and later, we had Cab Calloway, Rosemary Clooney, Guy Lombardo, Sophie Tucker, who was from Savannah, and Johnny Mercer, of course, who was from Savannah and spent much time on Tybee. There were just so many musicians, Blue Steel, if you go back a number of generations, but they would use Tybee as their last stop when they were out touring along the coast, and they'd come back to Tybee last so that they could stay there for a couple of weeks and play baseball and half rubber and softball with the townsfolk.
So I'm curious, just a little segue here, I'm curious how you went from being a registered nurse to being a writer.
Good question. Well, I've always been a writer. And then when I became a nurse, and I never dreamed that I could actually write a book. I was writing short stories and quips and little vignettes and some reports for newspapers. But then when I became a nurse, I started reading a lot because I was working intensive care. And I really needed to have a diversion. And so people kept talking about a different genre, for instance, romance, right at the beginning. They said, you'd really like it because it promises a happy ending. Well, since I was working intensive care and cardiac care, you know, we don't always have happy endings. And so I would read that to get me through the next few shifts. And then I thought, you know, I think I can write that. But I had a lot of ideas in my head. I've always written.
Well, and as you know, writing can open up whole new worlds for you. So that's wonderful that you used those books as a way to get through the tough realities of being a nurse, and once you've retired as a nurse, you've taken that to create books on your own to help other people.
I really think that being a nurse and then also teaching at Kennesaw State and getting my graduate degree at Kennesaw in the Master of Arts and Professional Writing program helped me to bring me where I am now, and I'm supposed to be here right now. That's just the way I feel.
Well, in the books about Tybee, I know you've gotten an endorsement from the Tybee Island Historical Society. How did that come about?
Colin Chambers, who's the executive director of the Historical Society and the big lighthouse on Tybee, was thrilled and very open to us in going through the archives and giving us any help that we needed for that.
Well, and have you found that there are any marketing advantages to writing about such a popular tourist location and a place that people love so much?
Well, I think the marketing advantage, which didn't really occur to us at the beginning, was that we get so many tourists on Tybee and the lighthouse and some of the retail vendors down there were so happy to get the books and many tourists have picked them up. And so we're very grateful for that.
What a wonderful keepsake for people to take home after they visited Tybee and be able to read some of the history and remind themselves of their good time that they had.
We've had some wonderful feedback from folks who said that they had taken their books home and read them to other people. And in fact, one of our books now sits on somebody's coffee table in Perth, Australia, and he had to let us know that he'd taken it back that far.
Wow. That's a long way over the ocean.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know you also do some teaching at Kennesaw State University.
I do. I teach the general education classes, the composition classes, and world literature. And the composition classes are usually for freshmen, and then world lit is for, usually I cover sophomores, juniors, and seniors. And it's so it's a lot of fun.
So what are you working on now? What's your new project that you're working on?
Well, I'm always afraid if I say too much about it, it'll backfire on me. But I'm working on a mid-50s story about Savannah and the associations among the descendants of slaves, the Jews, and the Irish. And, of course, there were other ethnic groups, too, but they intertwined so heavily in Savannah. That it was an interesting story. And I started out thinking it would be a memoir, but I think it would be even more interesting as a fiction, as a novel. So I'm leaning in that direction now.
So did you get the kernels of the idea for that because of doing the research for these two books?
Oh, I did, because I met so many people who could be great sources or who proved to be sources to add to the book.
So, Ellen, how do our listeners get in touch with you and buy your books?
Well, the Kennesaw State University press have the books also at the KSU bookstore. They can be found on Amazon and at Barnes & Noble and retailers on Tybee and the Lighthouse and different places. So usually I think if because they're online, available online, that if someone just goes into a bookstore and cannot get it to KSU Press, then they can buy it that way. But they can order online from KSU Press as well.
And can you give us the website address for KSU Press?
I knew you were going to ask that. I think it is
www. I actually looked it up.
Oh, you did? Oh, can you give us the website?
I can give it to you. It's kennesaw.edu/KSU Press.
Thank you. Yeah. That's very good.
I wanted to make sure that we could get people to the right place so they could buy your book. So, Ellen, we're gonna go ahead and move on to our next guest, but we'd love for you to stay in the studio and then be part of our roundtable at the end of our individual interviews. Can
thank
you do
you.
That with
yes,
us?
Yes, I'd like that.
Okay, thank you so much, Ellen. So continuing with our fascinating people in your backyard theme, our next guest is Neil Wilkinson, author of Running on Full, about the famous Atlanta twins, Ruth and Ruby Crawford. These women were founding members of the Georgia Association of Women Lawyers, the Georgia Women's Chamber of Commerce, and they also appeared on What's My Line and the Oprah Winfrey Show. They always dressed identically. These pioneering sisters were instrumental in breaking through many of the glass ceilings encountered by women in the 20th century America in such diverse fields as law, accounting, and real estate. Neil is a practicing attorney, and in addition to his legal degrees, he holds a master's degree in professional writing from Kennesaw State University. He's an adjunct professor of business law at KSU, Michael Cole School of Business. Welcome, Neil.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. It's so great to have you here. And
Thanks for having me.
I hadn't heard about Ruth and Ruby, and I'm just curious how you got interested in them.
I had heard of them from a fellow student in the MAPW program who had written a feature article about them. And I thought at the time they were very interesting. And, you know, we passed those around and critiqued the articles and what have you. Well, once I'd finished the program, I stayed on the MAPW listserv. And a call for a writer was put out to write this, and there were several writers who had submitted some writing samples and talked to the people through the office of President Betty Siegel when she was president of the university. And somehow I got picked. I met Ruth and Ruby for the first time in the varsity. And I tell a little bit about that in the book, but
that's an Atlanta landmark too. So
it certainly is, and it was around the last time for school kids to be doing their field trips or whatever before the weather got cold, and the place was with a whole bunch of kids from a church group, and so we were there, and of course the varsity is not known for being quiet, but we had a, I was amazed by their fortitude, given that they were in their 80s at the time, because they got slaw dogs all the way. there wasn't anything left when they got finished. But they were quite lively. They were very interesting. They actually knew some people that I knew, and so we had something to talk about.
Well, and I know the sisters have both passed away since in the last few years. One in 2005, I believe. The other one in 2009.
That's correct. Ruth passed on in October of 2005, and that was about 11 months into the project. I had already produced a couple of drafts, and in fact, Ellen helped to edit. There's an acknowledgement in the book thanking Ellen for her help. Back when we first got started on the book, Lindsay Tucker was the other editor on the book, and her mother had gotten sick, and she had to take a leave of absence. But in any case, that of course put a different spin on things, and so there had to be some rewriting and what have you. Ruby passed on in June of 2009. She and I had spent the summer of 2008 going through all manner of photos and scanning them and learning some things about them. And there are plenty, there are a lot of photos, upwards of 70 or 75 photos in the book.
Well, and I know that you interviewed the sisters for a lot of the information for the book. Did you? What other things did you do to create to research the background of these sisters?
Well, I went out to Temple and took photographs of Temple.
And that's where they
were from Temple.
They were
Georgia.
From Temple, Georgia.
I'm sorry, I should have told you that in the beginning. Went out to Temple. My wife and I went out. We toured the place. We took photos all over. From all over. I talked to the ladies more than I talked to other people. I did interview some various people that knew them. Got comments from various people. Jimmy Carter, they were very good friends with President Carter and Rosalynn Carter. And until the end of their lives, they went out to on trips with them out to Crested Butte, Colorado. There's a little story out there, a story in the book about that. And they were quite active. They went all over the place when they were able to travel. And it was during the period of writing the book that they began to experience some health problems, obviously. And Ruby eventually passed away. But the nice part about it is she got to see the completed manuscript.
That's exciting. Exciting for all of you.
It is, considering that she didn't get to see the finished product, and I was real sorry about that. But that's the timing of the publishing business.
But their legacy lives on in this book, which is amazing. So I know that you're a practicing attorney in addition to being a writer. How do you feel like your experience as an attorney influences your writing?
Well, that's a hard question. I thought you were an investigative journalist.
Well, and I know these sisters were two of the first women attorneys here in town. I think that's interesting that you were an attorney and they were also attorneys.
That was certainly part of it, because when I made my presentation to be considered to write the book, one of the things that I said was that I was a practicing attorney and I thought I would be able to communicate with them. And we did. We talked about the law and that sort of thing quite a lot. There's not a lot of it in the book, but I certainly understood. You know, I was able to understand things and ask questions, I think, that were germane to what they were doing. They didn't practice law as private attorneys. They they practiced for working for the bank, the First National Bank of Atlanta, and that was another unique thing about them is that they were among the first women officers in banks anywhere. Ruby said that she was a member of the Supreme Court of the United States before the bank made her an officer, and she said, and they were none too quick about it. So she was, but they moved up through the ranks and were over their career quite proud of their careers, but they left the bank after 34 years. A bit frustrated at the level to which they were able to rise. There were still impediments that aggravated them. That would be the best way to put it.
Well, and I'm curious what advice you would give to someone else who wants to write about a person or people that they find fascinating.
Well, one of the things that presented a challenge is if you're writing a biography or a biographical piece, it is imperative that you have a little trepidation about writing about live subjects, because you have to be mindful of what they perceive. The first draft, I used tape recorders quite a lot, and my aunt Mary Cooper, I'd send them to her in the mail, and she'd transcribe them, send them back to me in Word. And when they saw the very first rough draft, they said they got a little upset. And it was just their voices, just recorded. It hadn't been edited or anything, and they said, "Well, we don't sound like that." And I said,
we'll clean it up.
Yeah, we'll clean it up, and we did, and they were satisfied with what was said.
And Neil, I'm curious how people can find your book and how they can find you.
They can find the book in the same place that you can find Ellen's book, at the KSU Press website or on Amazon. They can contact me at my email, Neil Wilkinson, 1219 @gmail.com. If they want a copy of the book, I believe it is going to Barnes and Noble now. Unfortunately, we don't have Borders anymore.
I know, that's sad.
Yeah, that was sad. But the KSU website will get it shipped out pretty quickly.
Well, great. Well, Neil, thank you so much for coming and talking to us about your book. And if you can hang out with us, we're gonna open the mics for everybody in just a little bit.
Sure, be happy to.
Okay. So our final guest is Jim Elledge. Jim has two books forthcoming. I know you're very prolific. You've written a number of books, but you've got two that are coming up. The first one is H, a collection of prose poems about outsider artist Henry Darger, and it's coming out in the summer of 2012. And another book that's kind of a companion book that's called Throwaway Boy, A Life of Henry Darger, and which is the biography of the artist and is scheduled for publication in late 2013. Jim's book-length poem, A History of My Tattoo, won the 2006 Lambda Literary Award. Did I say that right? Lambda Literary Award, as well as the Georgia Author of the Year Award in Poetry. Jim directs the Master of Arts and Professional Writing Program at Kennesaw State University. Kind of got a theme of Kennesaw State University going on today. We're going to have Jim come back on another show and talk about his books. But today, we're going to be talking about a one-day conference that's coming up October 1st. Mm-hmm. That's Publishers, Agents, and Media Institute, that's being hosted at Kennesaw State. Right. So welcome, Jim.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So tell us who will benefit from attending Publishers, Agents, and Media Institute on October 1st?
Absolutely anyone who, like the theme of this program, has written a book, wants to write a book, intends to write a book, is in the process of writing a book. A lot of people are looking for answers to questions they have about perhaps the best way to go about getting published. And really, this is about publishing, not about writing. A lot of conferences exist that have workshops, that sort of thing, that help you with the writing aspect of the whole business. But what we wanted to do was to help people come up with ideas about how they wanted their finished product put out there.
And there's so many more options now.
Absolutely.
For ways to get published.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we were going to have, there's two things that happen at the same time on that Saturday, October 1st. There will be a series of three different people who will be speaking about various topics in publishing. One, Ahmed Miraji will be speaking about self-publishing. A very important woman in Atlanta area, Vanessa Lowry.
I love her.
We'll be speaking about social media for authors. And then David Blakesley, who is a professor at Clemson University and founder and editor of Parler Press, will be talking about the more traditional book publishing.
So you're really kind of giving people the whole gamut of if
Absolutely.
They want to self-publish, this is kind of the process and the way that the things you need to look at. And we're going to be talking about marketing both before and after you publish. And then if you want to go the traditional route.
Exactly. Exactly. And at the same time, we will have two New York agents who are going to help people look at their first 20 pages of their manuscript and see if they can help them out getting an agent or perhaps even representing them as far as getting a publisher.
And I know you have appointments for those, but I believe those appointments are all booked up for the agents.
They are all booked up. They went right away, actually. It was quite amazing because you never know how these things are going to turn out, but
right.
just almost overnight.
But people can still come to the conference
exactly.
and be part of the sessions.
Exactly.
So what's the investment of both their time? Like how long is the conference and what can they expect as well as the investment of money for them to attend?
The cost, if they registered before September 15th, it was $150. After September 15th, it is $180. And what they can do is sit in the audience of these three experts in their fields. There's going to be, each person will talk for about 40 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, something like that. And there will be a Q&A afterwards. Everyone is slated for a 2-hour session. So there'll be plenty of time for people in the audience to actually ask real questions about, I want to do this, how do I go about it?
And one of the things that I want to do in my session, which I think is going to be fun, is actually pull a couple people out of the audience and have them describe their target market and then brainstorm some ideas with them.
That'd be great.
So I think
they'll love it. Yeah.
It's going to be a fun day.
Mm-hmm.
So where do our listeners go to find out more and to register actually for? And it's Publishers, Agents, and Media Institute that
right.
they're registering for.
Right. They should go to the Georgia Writers website, which is www.georgiawriters.org. And you can just follow the links there, and you can pay through PayPal. It's all set up. No problem.
And I know the Georgia Writers Association is actually housed at Kennesaw and is
right.
part of Kennesaw.
Yeah, they're co-sponsoring this with us.
So do you do your students do a lot of work with the Georgia Writers Association typically?
Some do. It really depends. Some do as part of a class that we have. Some do just simply on their own. Some are members of Georgia Writers. So it really depends on the individual student.
So it's interesting that both Ellen and Neil went through the professional writing program, the Master of Arts in Professional Writing at Kennesaw State University. What kind of students typically come and go through that program?
Absolutely everyone on the planet. There's
it sounds like it.
There's really no way to answer that in any kind of quick way. We're a very unique program. We're the only program in the entire United States that takes that has classes in all three major genres of writing, applied writing, creative writing, and comprette, composition, rhetoric. And so it's a real unique program, and you can ask them about the program if they liked it or not. I think it's a really amazing program. We have great teachers, all of whom have been in the field, and by that I mean they're publishing authors, et cetera, but they also have very strong teaching skills. And so I think it's a really unique program that just about anyone would be interested in who's interested in writing.
So what's the length of time that is the commitment for that program if someone wanted to come take that program?
People ask me that a lot, and I have to ask them about their home life, if they're married, if they have children, if they have a full-time job, and then I can more easily respond. If you don't have any of that, then 2.5-3 years. If you have a full-time family obligation and a full-time job, as many of our students do, you probably take one class a semester, maybe two, and that could take you up to 6 years.
So do you find that a lot of your students have had other careers and are doing other things and just coming back to a love of writing that they've always harbored?
That's it, exactly. Almost, I would say, 90-80% of our students have full-time jobs and have always wanted to write. And now finally the kids are out the door, they're away at college or whatever, and it's that person's time to take care of him or herself. And so they're coming back to school and learning how to write, learning all those things that they were unable to get on their own or were too busy to get on their own.
So the folks that are coming to this conference, it sounds like some of them are students at Kennesaw, but it's also open to
writers to
anywhere.
Anyone, anywhere can come as long as they want to drive all the way to Kennesaw from wherever they happen to be.
That's right. And what time does that start on the 1st?
They can register between 8 and 8:45 if they haven't already. It starts at 9 o'clock, and it runs through 5:15. At the end of everything, beginning about 6 o'clock, we're going to have a pay-your-own-way cocktail and snacks hour or two at Poppy's, which is on Chastain Road.
So how many people are you expecting for this conference?
I have no idea because...
This is the first one you've done.
Yeah,
exactly,
we've never
this
done
format.
This before. No, never. And so I'm hoping there'll be, I'm guessing probably around 100 is what I'm guessing.
And I know you all have a special running because Kennesaw has done, the Georgia Writers Association has hosted the Red Clay Conference.
Right, and they'll continue to do that.
And they've got kind of a special combo price if people want to sign up for both.
They do. And I bet you know what it is because I don't.
You know, I don't. I don't know what it is, but I know it's on their website.
It is. It's on the website.
So if people go to georgiawriters.org, then they can find out the information both about the one-day conference as well as the Red Clay Conference that's
Absolutely.
Coming up in November.
I believe so, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So can you just remind everybody again how they can go find information about the conference?
It's at www.atlantawriters.org.
Thank you, Jim. And I'm so glad that you came and shared information. And I'm just thrilled that I'm going to get to be there.
We're all excited about having
everybody.
You.
So... I would love for you to come back another time and talk about your books.
We'll be very happy to.
Great.
Thank you.
So we're going to just open up the mics now and just let everybody chat. And if you've got questions for one another, and I think it's interesting that all of you know each other, and this is the first time I've met you. So so I may have more questions for you than you have for each other. But does anybody have a comment or a question that you'd like to ask?
I think it was georgiawriters.org. You said Atlanta Writers.
Did I? I'm sorry about that. Sorry.
I hate to correct you.
Sorry, Lisa. Sorry, Margaret.
So I am curious because you all do all teach at Kennesaw State University, and some of you have done other things, and some of you, like Neil, are still doing other things in conjunction with that you're an adjunct professor. Curious how you all support one another in your writing and in your publishing.
Well, I think we go, yay, good job, if somebody does something. That's about it. I mean, I'm in the business department, so I don't see the people, unless I just go visit, which I do from time to time.
Although you did say Ellen edited your book.
Ellen was chosen by the press to do that. So she, in fact, did. And she did some very good work and made some very useful suggestions and I thought was worthy of an acknowledgement in the book. And I still have all those notes and things that you wrote.
Well, that was really kind of you. I really did just the preliminary editing. I've always loved to edit other people's work, whether it was to their strength or not. But usually it works out very well. But I was so eager to read the entire book, and now it's finally out, and I get to.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And editing is really, really important, too. People don't understand how important it is.
I see Dr. Tim jumping up for up and down for joy in the background. That's what he tells his clients all
exactly,
the time.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, it's usually unsung, and that's I'm very happy to hear him say that it was a great thing for her to do for him.
Well, I think the real key to this is that we shouldn't call this writing. We should call it rewriting. because that's what you do. And if you believe that every word you put down is a pearl and you don't want it moved or changed, you're going to have a very, very difficult time trying to be a writer. It'll be very frustrating. You've got to listen to people when they edit. Some things you might not agree with, but in Ellen's case, when she set a directional thing that really was like setting the course of the ship. As she said, it was preliminary, but it was very important. And then Lindsay Tucker did all the line editing and all the little words and that sort of thing, all the real fine tuning. So I got the benefit of two editors who liked what they were editing, number one. And number two, had the skill to do it, and that was very helpful.
Right. So had you already finished your manuscript, or was this early on?
Oh, no, this was a birthing. It was being done at the time. And part of the problem that I encountered was that the ladies, as I said, were in their 80s, and they had health problems. Plus, when the health problems weren't bothering them, they were running all over the place.
They were busy.
They were referred to as the 24-hour Crawfords, and making themselves available. They did that as generously as they possibly could. But they had commitments that were personal commitments. I mean, various civic organizations and that sort of thing. And you just have to cooperate with that.
Right. Well, and I think it is interesting that you're talking about, you know, editing early on. I know that that's the way Dr. Tim likes to work with his clients, that he likes to, you know, help them from the beginning so their writing can actually be better and it requires less editing at the very end. So he likes to work with them to kind of give them a direction to make sure that they're writing better and better as they go along.
I'd like to add to that, too, that no one, even if multi-published, is their own best editor. They really need to have someone else.
Because you just get too tired of looking at it and you don't see it anymore.
The brain tells you that what's supposed to be there is there when oftentimes it's not.
That's
true. And
oftentimes
it's not accurate. And you've got to be very, very, very careful. Even if a writer is writing fiction, that writer has to be so careful that he or she is not writing about something that could not possibly have happened and leave the door open that maybe it could happen. But if it did not happen, and it couldn't have happened, then that writer needs somebody else to check that work.
Right. So, Jim, is it hard for you to get your students on board with understanding the importance of editing?
Usually. You know, I teach mostly creative writing, poetry writing, and that's always very close to the student's heart. And so when you set out as a teacher to help them through the whole, as he said, birthing process, because that's really what it is, you're absolutely right, it becomes very personal for them, even though for me it's not, and
right.
For most editors it's not. It's all about the product. It's all about the book or the poem or the story or whatever. But they don't necessarily take it that way. And so there's a lot of trust that has to be built up in that relationship. They have to trust me and know that I'm not trying to make mini-me's of them, that I'm really trying for them. I'm trying to get them to write the best that they possibly can at a given moment.
So if someone is writing a book and they feel like they're not really clicking with their editor, would you recommend they try to find a different editor to work with?
Not necessarily. Sometimes that's a good thing not to click, because if you're a real writer and if you're really devoted, you will sit down and say, why am I not clicking? Is this my mm-hmm. ego mm-hmm. or is it his or her problem? Mm-hmm. And usually, and maybe you two will agree, often it's your own problem. It's not them. They have no real investment in the book other than wanting it to be the best it possibly can, whereas you have personal involvements with that book. you have ego involved with that book, et cetera. So often I think it's a matter of trying to figure out why you are not clicking.
That's a very good point. That was not the answer I expected, but that's a very good point. Thank you very much. You know, thank you all so much for being with us today. We're our clock's on us, and so we're going to wrap up. But I so appreciate you coming and talking about your books and talking about the conference. So we are wrapping up here, and we welcome our listeners' comments and suggestions about content and our guests. If you would like to recommend a guest or would like to be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know. You can send an email to whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. I want to thank our regular host, Tim Morrison, for allowing me to come and play today and guest host. It's always so much fun. And thank you to our guests, Ellen Tabor, Neil Wilkinson, and Jim Elledge. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ellen's books and Neil's book at the Kennesaw State University Press website, which is kennesaw.edu.ksupress. And then writers can also register for the one-day conference that's coming on October 1st, Publishers, Agents, and Media Institute. You can register at the Georgia Writers Association website, which is georgiawriters.org. Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. Learn more about Right Choice Services at www.rightchoiceservices.com. I hope you'll join us next week. Tell your friends about the show. In fact, how about sending them an email right now and telling them to listen live on Tuesdays at 10 or to download from our archives later in the day. So listen to Right Here, Right Now live every Tuesday at 10 a.m. at righthererightnow.businessradiox.com. You can download the MP3 version of all the interviews on the Right Here, Right Now website. I'm Vanessa Lowry, and I'm guest hosting today for Tim Morrison. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business. Right Here, Right Now.